7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. For everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now there's two types of people he's talking about here. Two types of people. There's not three, not four. There's either believers or non-believers. There's believers who believe and do, and then there's people who do whatever they want to do. They can hear the word, but they don't do it. So he's saying here that Whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them, and then you've got everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So you still got two individuals that are hearing his sayings. They're both hearing the sayings, right? They're both hearing it. One is doing what they hear, and the other one is not doing what they hear. Is that correct? That's what I heard. That's what I see. So then we know then that there's a choice within the person hearing. The choice is within the person. God isn't going to make anybody a wind-up doll or robot or program anybody like a toy doll. Everyone has to make a decision. I'm going to believe and I'm going to do the sayings of Jesus. So that's where it gets real serious. It gets very serious because now it's not about you and other people. It's about you. 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 Hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. I do not believe that God holds you responsible to do something you don't know. Because there's things I don't know yet that I'm supposed to be doing. But if I ever hear a doing word, then I'm responsible to do it. I'm responsible to do what I hear God say to do. But if I don't know what he says to do, I can't possibly do it, right? So I know that my responsibility is hearing and then doing. Now, we might say, oh, well, I need to back off. And I just remember thinking to myself one day, you know, maybe I shouldn't know too much. Maybe I shouldn't hear too much because then I'm responsible to do what I hear. Isn't that what some people like to think? Oh, well, maybe I don't need to know anymore. Let's just shut it down. Let's not learn anymore. Let's just hold it all down. And let's just not worry about knowing anymore so we don't have to do too much. Because really, basically, we don't like having to do anything that we don't want to do. And Jesus is saying, but if you hear, I believe he's saying you're going to want to do. If you hear it with the right way of hearing, you're going to be excited about doing. And that's what I want to explore tonight. That's what I want to share, what God has revealed to me about really being excited about being a doer of the word. Because honestly, it's not what you think. It's not hard to do for God. It's not hard to do these sayings of Jesus. So let's go ahead and look at some more verses here. Let's look at Habakkuk 2, chapter 4. Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. I want us to look at that. Verse 1. Let's just start with verse 1 of chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me. Now here's a person who wants to hear from God. He's got a watch. He's like watching. He's waiting on God to talk to him. He's seeking God. And the Lord answered him and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that he readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell and as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth of him all people. I believe he's talking about Satan. I believe he's talking about everybody that follows Satan. And his whole entire perspective, his whole attitude there. But there we are, a people who want to hear from God. We are not a proud people, but we want to hear God. And God says, write the vision and make it plain. Now that's believe, and I know this is true, that Jesus came to write the vision, to make it plain. He talked a lot about the end times. He talked a lot about what was coming. But he also said, I'm going to build my church upon a rock. And the rock was himself, upon who he was. He was the Son of God. And he said, I'm going to build my church upon a revelation of who I am. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that rock, against the church. Now, he's not talking just about a building. Oh, there's a church over there. And there's a bunch of nice folks over there. See those people over there? Devil can't do anything with them people because they're part of the church. He's not talking about just because you belong to a church. He's talking about a people who have a revelation of who he is. Who he is. Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to write the vision tonight and we're going to make it plain. We're going to say what we know God says to say, and we're going to do what God says to do, because Jesus said, whoever does my sayings, hears my sayings and does them. Here's his sayings. Matthew 16, starting with verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, that's a revelation word. That's a word that comes from God. And you know how you get a revelation word? Just like the man, just like Habakkuk did. He set out to hear from God. He set himself in a place where he was going to get a word from God. And God answered him. Jesus said, seek, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said that if you would just seek him, you would find him. So we know that Jesus is saying here, I'm going to build my church on a word that comes out of heaven, a word that comes from God, the revelation word of God, because all word is Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if you have a revelation of the Word, you have a revelation of Jesus. Really. You can't separate Jesus from his word. He is who he says he is. But this is the wonderful thing, is that you can really know it in your heart that it's true. You can know it's in your heart, it's true. Now, you can have a little bit of truth, but you may not have the whole picture of truth. You can have a little piece of the puzzle, but you may have all the puzzle. You may see through a little peephole. Has anybody ever gone looking through a little peephole of a fence? Used to be a fence that was all around the Legion field where I grew up. And we used to go over and try to watch the games through the peepholes, the ball games that I'm going to pay. And you could see just a little bit of it, but you couldn't see the whole picture. You could see just what that little hole would let you see. And that's the way a lot of believers walk around every day and live. They walk around trying to have a victorious lifestyle with just a little bit of revelation. They don't really see the whole picture. So it's really important that we get the vision so we can make it plain. And not make it plain just to others, but make it plain to ourselves. That we will not be in bondage to the enemy. Because the more you know and the more you do, the stronger your house will be. Jesus said, whoever will hear and do, I will liken him a wise man who built. So we're going to be building something. We're building something. I've been building something. Every one of us is building something. Are we building something? I'm building something. And guess where it's being built? right in here. I want everybody to put their hand on their belly right here. Right here. Right here. Recognize this. You are the temple of God. And you are building. You're building your spirit man. You're building your faith. By being here tonight, you're going to hear some faith. Because faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And the hearing is the beginning of the doing. You can't do what you don't hear. You got to first hear, and then you got to hear it correctly. Because it's got to come to you through here, the revelation. You get it through your ear gates, eye gates, but it's got to come inside you and be a part of you. My hand's a part of me. Let me tell you, your spirit is the real you. That's the real you. That's the real you. Okay. So we're building something. Jesus said, upon this rock, flesh and blood, verse 17, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this kind of revelation, I will build my church. Upon this rock, Jesus called it a rock. And didn't Jesus say in the sayings before in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he said, whoever hears these sayings, I will liken to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Right? What's he talking? He's talking about the same rock right here. A revelation rock. A revelation immovable word. Because revelation is not like head knowledge. I mean, you could be flying an airplane and it starts coming down and all their books go out the window that you all your knowledge. And you're going to start calling on God. And if you ain't got nothing inside you, you ain't going to have any faith to believe in anything. Head knowledge only takes you so far. But if you've got a revelation word in here, that connects you to the eternal mighty God. So this is where we are responsible to build our house. I'm responsible for my house. And it's got to be built upon the revelation of who Jesus is and his sayings. His sayings. And look at this next verse. Let me read 18 again. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now look at this last part of this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's interesting he said that. He said that before he went to the cross. He said that before he died on that cross and went to hell and paid for our salvation. He said all that because it was a truth. You see, if you ever get the revelation that God is eternal, his nature is eternal life. God is as far that direction into eternity. If you can imagine how far that goes, it goes forever. God is, he inhabits that eternity. He's over here as far that direction. In fact, God inhabits eternity. He lives there. He lives there. If he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that is an absolute truth. And he could say it before he went to the cross, and he could say it after he went to the cross, because he inhabits eternity. He's Almighty God talking. And so Jesus made a very powerful statement when he said that. Now, can you say that? The gates of hell can't prevail against you? No. Because you're no match for the devil. You're no match for his power. The gates of hell represent the power of hell. It represents hell itself. And all hell, the gates, you know, we're talking entrance. The gates of hell is a big deal. It's what unleashes all the forces of hell. The forces of hell come out of the gates against you and me. That's where they got to come from. Now, you better have some power and authority of revelation. So when the gates of hell come at you through those gates, you've got to know who you are in Christ. Because he said, those gates, no big deal. No big deal. They cannot prevail. Will not prevail. Did he say they wouldn't come against you? No, they wouldn't prevail. Didn't say they wouldn't come open, but they're not going to prevail. Didn't say nothing would come out of them through to you, but they can't prevail. That's what he's saying here. can't prevail. And just cannot. See, cannot. Shall not prevail. Verse 19. And let me tell you something very, very important. Verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people think that he was just talking specifically to Peter, but he was talking to anyone that would be born, anyone that would come along and hear his sayings and believe that he is the Son of God, came out of Revelation, and you've got the revelation in your belly that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that with all your heart, mind, and soul, and that he is the living, breathing Son of God who cannot die. And then he's saying that to everyone who believes that. He's saying that I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God has gates too. Did you all know that? The kingdom of God has gates. There's gates that open the kingdom. A lot of people absolutely have no access to the kingdom of God at all over their lives. They do not know how to open any doors in the kingdom. They don't know how to access kingdom. They don't know how to access the kingdom. Because you've got to access the kingdom of God with your faith. Yes. Now, I'll give you keys. Keys represent locks. You don't need a key if you don't have a lock, do you? And you usually don't have a lock if you don't have a door. Whatsoever, not just who's, you know what, people start binding people. People start speaking to people. You are not going to be able to bind people, but you can bind the devil. You can bind whatsoever. See, the devil releases things against us. The devil releases situations in our life. The devil releases things because the gates of hell come at us through situations, don't they? So whatsoever you bind. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Keys and then binding. What is it about binding things? So keys not only open doors, but keys also lock things, don't they? Yep. Keys open heaven and they lock hell. Remember Andy Griffith's show? Yeah. And he had the Andy Griffith show. Remember the Barney had the big set of keys? And you lock somebody up and you had the key and you put that person in that jail cell, right? And you lock them in. They can't get out. Wouldn't you say that person was bound? There's things that we need to bind in our lives, in our families' lives. Now, you can't bind up people. You don't have authority over people, but you have authority over the devil that in people's lives. You can bind situations. You can incarcerate things. In other words, you can put it in lock and key. You can put it in a cell. You can put it in a handcuff. And you can lock that handcuff with a key. And they are bound. They can't get out. They're literally stopped in their tracks. Now, that's what it means to bind. Okay. So, whatever you bind shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And what this is really saying is when you know what's already loosed in heaven, you can loose it here. And whatever is bound from entering into heaven, you can bind it here. Isn't that good news? There's nobody stealing in heaven, so you can bind stealing. There's nobody cussing in heaven, so you can bind cussing. There's nobody lying in heaven, so you can bind lying. There's nobody doing whatever. There's no sickness in heaven, so you can bind sickness and disease. You can lock sickness and disease up. You can put it stop to it. You can literally, in the name of Jesus, he said, I'll give you the keys to take authority over that thing and incarcerate it and put it in prison and put it in chains and stop it in its tracks. Jesus knew that all these things were going to happen, but it all hinged on his obedience. If he had not gone to the cross, this all would have been out the window. Everything he just told them wouldn't have happened. Because he had to finish his assignment. If he did not go to the cross, then we would not have authority over the devil. He's the one who gave us and purchased the authority to do these things. I think it's just neat that he went ahead and just told us the plan. Yeah. Because he already knew he was going to accomplish it. He knew what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Look, go with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're living in the last hours of time on this earth. We're living in the last days. Luke 11, verse 21. I want to ponder on this a minute, this verse. Jesus says this, here's a saying of Jesus. Remember, the one who hears his sayings and does them, hears them, understands them, and does them. This is what Jesus is saying here. He said, when a strong man armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcometh him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. You are the strong man of your house. I am the strong man of my house. And as long as I stay a strong man, it's going to take somebody stronger than me to come along and steal my goods. But if I'm hidden in Christ, if my life is hidden in Jesus, and I'm established on him, and the revelation of who he is, there's nobody stronger than Jesus. There's nobody bigger than Jesus. So there's nobody that's going to come in and spoil my house, because my life is hid in Christ. The Bible says my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I can walk around in life knowing that there's no weapon formed against me that can prosper. And it's not because I'm so big and bad, and I'm so powerful, and I'm so full of faith. It's not about all that. It's not about the fact that I can quote 100,000 scriptures. It's not about the fact that I can speak to mountains. It's not about any of that. It's about being founded upon the rock, knowing who Jesus is, and knowing that my life is hid in him. Because there will be a stronger man than me come along. I'll guarantee you, there's demonic powers that are much stronger than us. And if we think that we've got some going on and we can deal with the devil, you can just forget it. You can forget it. You will not be able to prevail against this stronger man. He's stronger than you. And Jesus made this very strong statement. He said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, your house. Strong man armed. What is it to be a strong man armed? I mean, it's talking about having a revelation. It's talking about being prepared with everything you need to not let the winds come. The rains beat upon that house, and it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. See, my heart has got to be established on truth. Truth has got to be your anchor. It's got to be in here, in your belly. You got to know this in your spirit, man. You got to be established in the Word of God. That, and the gates of hell, the winds will blow. The wind's going to come. Temptations, pressures. You know, I ain't got any money. What am I going to do? I can't pay my bills. And you just are a puddle in the floor. And, what am I going to do? They're going to kick me out of my house. They're going to turn my water off. They're going to turn my electric. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Is that sound? That look like a strong man armed, keeping his house? Does that look like a picture of someone that's really trusting God? No, it isn't. It isn't. But he said a strong man that's armed. What are you armed with? You're armed with the Word of God. You're armed with the revelation Word of God. And that you've got to get that armed. You've got to get your spirit man armed with a strong arm of the Lord in your life. And you've got to know how to deal with the devil. You've got to know how to bind. You know how to loose, and you know how to open heaven and lock the devil up. Then what he says, verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. Let me tell you, that ain't happening. That is not happening. And overcome him? And overcome him? There's no one going to overcome you if you know who you are in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. And have overcome them. Mm-hmm. You've overcome them. You've overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's the them? Who's the them? The them is the devil and his crowd has overcome them. Not going to try to. You walk around knowing you're an overcomer. Hear the sayings of Jesus and build up on that rock. Start building. Just because you're on the rock doesn't mean you're built yet. Doesn't mean you're armed yet. You've got to build something in your spirit, man. You've got to do some building. You've got some work on your hands to do. Because the strong man will come. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Everybody there? He says, through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, verse 5 says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Build your house on sand, but you better build it on rock. And because the wind's going to come, the rains are going to come, there's going to come a stronger man than you. So you better know who you are in Christ so you don't get blown away. So you don't get taken down the river. So you don't end up in the junk heap. So you don't end up in hell burning with other people who've not listened to this word. You don't want to lose out with God. You want to establish your life. He said, by wisdom it's built and understanding it's established. And he wants to give us understanding of his words, of his ways. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. He's saying that when you start walking by revelation, it's a whole different path. When you start living and hearing his word from heaven out of in your human spirit and you get a revelation, the path starts opening up to you. It's a whole different, it's called the faith walk. It's called the faith walk. You start seeing, it's almost like you get a word from God and he says, go this way. And you say, okay, I hear what you're saying, God. Do this. And then you step out by faith and you obey. Because it's not just the word that you obey in the word is your path. It's the word that you get from God in daily life. You've got to have a revelation ear on a daily basis. If God says, go over here and preach to this message, or go over here and pray over these people, or go over here or move over here or go over there or go to this church, or go, and you start stepping out and doing what he says to do. See, it's a relationship. You are building your rock. You're building your house upon him. He becomes your beacon. He becomes your light. And he's saying, this is the path. You don't stand and just look at this life of God. You're on a path. You're on a pathway. And a lot of people get off the path and get on the Broadway of life, and they don't want to listen to God anymore. They say, oh, I'm tired of living for God. I don't think I want to do any more for the Lord. I don't care if I go to church. I don't think I'm going to read the Bible anymore. I don't think I'm going to pray anymore. Because it's an easier, broader way to go like that. It's easier not to go to church. It's easier not to pray. It's easier. And there's plenty of people on that path. But that path leads to hell. There's a path that leads to heaven. Now, is it because I'm so good I'm going to heaven? No. No. Has nothing to do with being good. Has nothing to do with being a good person. Because if your path to heaven was based on being good, then Jesus went to the cross for nothing. Jesus died for nothing if it's all about just you being good and living the hard life and being perfect and making yourself pray, making yourself read the word. No, we're talking about revelation, word from God, and believing his sayings and doing them. And it's not just, like I said, it's both ways. It's Hearing God now on a hearing a fresh word. I like to get a fresh word from God. I love it when he tells me, you need to go over here and do this. Oh, I have a choice. I'm going to hear and I'm going to do. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Does anybody ever have a situation to come along and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about this? How can I pray about that? And the Holy Spirit is in you to give you understanding that this is how you do that. This is what you do. Wisdom comes from God. And he gives you directions. And then, but the straight and narrow way of living is a word, a revelation way of life. And you listen and you hear the voice of God. And then you do it. That, and he says, few there is that find that way of life. Few there be that even go there. Most people want to just make up their own rules as they go, live any old way they want to go. God, he could show up and they just wouldn't recognize him because they have no fellowship with him. They don't know him. They don't spend time reading his word, finding out what he thinks like, what he wants. And they're not on the narrow way. See, this is a narrow way of life. Obeying God is not an easy way of life. It is a way of discipline. It's a way of dedication. It's a way of fear of the Lord. It's a way of putting others before yourself. It's a lot of stuff. But he says, if you'll hear my sayings and do them, you'll be like that wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the winds can come, the rains will go, and it will not fall. Now, thank God they don't come every day. But, you know, I'm prepared. Aren't you prepared? I'm glad we were prepared the other night.
Amen.
I'm glad we were prepared. And we're building a, we have a church that's being prepared. God is teaching us how to walk by faith. Mark chapter 4. And I want to take you verse to verse 20. Look what verse 20 says. So powerful. This is such a good revelation. Wonderful revelation. But you got to get this by revelation. And these are they. Talking about people. These are they which are sown on good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold. Some 60, and some 100. Now, doesn't say everybody's going to bring forth 100-fold. Doesn't even say. He says some bring forth 30-fold. We're talking fruit, being fruitful as a believer. Now, I just want to go there because this is the heart of what I'm trying to get at. How do you become fruitful? Well, he's telling you what is going to be the obstacles to keep you from being fruitful. And this is what things come along in every believer's life to keep you from being founded upon that rock. And looking, starting at verse 14 of chapter 4. He said, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground also, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. No fruit. Verse 18 says, and these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, the sayings of Jesus. They hear the sayings of Jesus. They hear the word and the cares of the world. Oh, I'm so busy. You know, I got to run here. I got to run there. I got to do this. I got to do that. Very, very dangerous to get too busy to hear the word. Very bad. This is one number one tactic of the devil is to get us so busy. Pastors have to really guard against this. Ministers have to really guard against this because we're so busy for the work of the ministry that we forget to minister to the Lord. We forget the Lord of the ministry. We forget to hear him because we're so busy working for him. And we don't hear and listen and protect ourselves. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence. for out of it proceeds the issues of life. So we've got to be aware that the cares of this world will absolutely choke the word of God. It says the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So that means it was once fruitful and then it became unfruitful. So there's a danger. There's a danger for me, for anybody in ministry, especially any believer, has to go on guard about the cares of this life and worries and cares and worries and cares. Oh, don't get too worried about your bills. Don't get too worried about your things. Don't get too worried about any of that stuff. Get your eyes on the Word. Get your eyes in Jesus. And then he says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Now, I like to think that I'm good ground. In fact, you can just say, I'm good ground. You put your hand on your belly and say, this is good ground. Good ground. And I'm going to be aware that the enemy wants to steal the word that is going to produce fruit. It's the word in your heart that produces fruit. Now go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want to show you quickly how to bear fruit. Romans 10. Verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. And what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I've been preaching the word of faith all this afternoon, all this morning. It's the word of faith which we preach that produces the fruit. If we don't get the word of faith in our mouth and in our hearts, you can forget bearing fruit. Because it takes the word and the word of faith in that word that bears the fruit. You have to bear the fruit through the word. You are the vehicle. Your faith is what releases the word in the earth to produce. But it's got to be nigh you. How can it be nigh you? That's why the enemy works so hard to steal the word. He comes immediately. First here, immediately takes away the word which was sown. Then he comes along to the other folks. He says, oh, no depth. Bring some persecution. Persecution has come in my life. But I must have been some good ground because I just absolutely dug in deep and I said, I am not losing that word. I'm not going to let the word leave me. The word is not leaving me. I'm going to keep it in my mouth. I'm going to keep it in my mouth. This is how you do not let it go. You don't let it escape your mouth. You keep it in before your eyes and you keep it in your mouth. The word is nigh you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That means anything that comes along. Anything. Now, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, you say, how can I do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How can I do it? I'll show you. Verse 27. See, Satan cometh immediately to steal the word that you heard. He comes to steal our word because he doesn't want you bearing fruit, for sure. He doesn't want you to be a fruit bearer. He doesn't want you founded upon an established rock. The rock, he doesn't want you to be a threat to him. See, when he sees you, he sees the threat that Jesus has imposed upon this earth. We stand directly against him. We are his opposition. He sees us as nothing but a big old threat to advancing his kingdom. And so we have to know that there's an opponent going to put pressure on us. But chapter 9 says, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means I is the real me that's putting my body under. I, being my spirit man, put your hand on your belly, this is the part of me that rules me. I am led by my spirit. I listen to God from my spirit. I pray from my spirit. I bear fruit from my spirit. The word of God is written in my spirit. And my body will try to stop me. But I have to, the real me, my belly, has to keep my body under. When my body wants to go crazy and be angry, get drunk, flip out, knock somebody out, I got to keep that body under. Because your body doesn't like the straight and narrow way. I'll tell you right now, the body does not like the straight is the path and narrow is the path and straight is the gate. The body don't want to deal with things, does it?
No.
Body of yours has lusts and appetites. And I truly believe that if you control your eating, you got a handle on it. It's like number one handle on your body is your absolute cravings for things you know is not good. Whether it be alcohol, sugar, anything that you know is not good, if you're not controlling your body's appetite, you, the real you, I keep my body. See, right? I keep my body. Now, that's what Paul did. He says, I keep my body under. In other words, the real Paul, is doing it. Now, I want to show you another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 9. For you are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by temptation or fire. And the temptation or the fire shall try every man's labor or work, what they're building, of what sort it is. If any man's work that he's building on his spirit man, if you've been building like a wise master builder, and you've been building your spirit up on the word of God, revelation word, and your work abides when the storms come, the rains beat, then he abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Sunny days are going to come. Your house will be intact. The sun will come back out. And you'll be rewarded. There's going to be a blessing there. Verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God? This is very important. Your body is a temple. It's your palace. If a strong man is armed, he keeps his palace, right? You're the temple of God. And it's not just enough that no God is in you. You've got to have revelation word working in you, producing fruit through your lips. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All things belong to me. Everything's mine because everything belongs to Jesus. Glory to God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, verse 16. See, you are the temple. You're building something. God has given you such, and you and I have got such an opportunity to really build something special for God in this earth. We have such an opportunity to get in this word and believe it, keep it nigh to your mouth, keep it in your heart, nigh to your mouth, and produce fruit. We have got an opportunity to produce. Stop talking about your problem. Start speaking the word to your problem. He says in 16, 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And be producing exactly what God would produce if he was literally living in you. And he is. He's living in you through the word and the revelation you have, whatever degree it is. Some people just have a 30-fold degree of revelation. Some people have a 60-fold degree, 20-fold degree, maybe 55-point degree. Some people have 80% degree of revelation. But whatever percentage you have is what you're producing. You've got opportunity to be a fruitful tree because you are the temple of the living God, and he wants to live in you and dwell in you and produce through you. Hallelujah. Mark 11. So Mark 11, look at 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say. Now here's the say. Jesus said, whosoever keeps my sayings. Keeps my sayings and does them. Now he's saying to the disciples, you can say. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You believe. But if you say what you believe from your heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is not a name it and claim it thing. This is believing the word of God and releasing it out of your human spirit through your mouth. Now, praying in tongues is a very, very important part about making this happen. I believe the more time you spend praying in the spirit, allowing your tongue to be connected to your spirit. See, tongues is a language of your human spirit. Happen where you believe something in your heart and your head is trying to doubt it. Did you know Kenneth Hagin said, the Lord told me, said, you can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Because I have doubted in my head a lot of things I've been speaking. I've spoke stuff out of my spirit and my head is going, that ain't going to work. But my spirit knew it would. You got to know that your head is not your heart. And it will fight you sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't it fight us? So he says, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There you go. There's some fruit. Is that fruit? I believe that we are going to see in these times people raise up and stop crying about their problems, stop wringing their hands, and literally the giants in us, the strong keeping our house, fully armed, we're going to take authority over things and we're going to speak to our situations and we're going to command them to line up with the word. Now, how do you make it line up with the word? You don't. You believe it to line up with the word. You believe it. And I'm going to give you an example of it, and then I'm getting ready to close. In Matthew, go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Wonderful news is, we're the ones now who can speak the word only, because we're the body of Christ. The centurion just said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then look what Jesus said about that. He said, for I'm a man, this is what the centurion says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth unto another come, and he cometh unto my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, he called someone who believed that he could speak the word, great faith. What do you expect that Jesus thinks about you and I when we take the word, which is him, put it in our hearts, written in our minds, I'll be to you a God and all you be to me a people. I will dwell in them. I will live in them. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What do you think he says about you when you take his word and you speak to a situation and command it to line up with his word, just like Jesus? Wouldn't you say he's saying you've got great faith? Yeah. I've not found so great faith. Because you learn how to release your faith into that situation. Just like Jesus did. The centurion. And you know why he knew that? Because he was a man who exercised authority. When you know your authority in Christ, you can do what Jesus did. And the reason you have authority is because you've been made to sit with him in heavenly places. That's how powerful that is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse. Let's look at verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. When were you and I quickened together with Christ? When did that happen? It happened when Jesus was quickened and made and raised up. Your deliverance, your healing, and everything became yours. You just had to come along and find out about it. When were you raised up to sit together with him? When he was raised up, seated at the Father. That's when we were seated with him. We're not trying to get there by good works. We're not trying to get there because we're grown up spiritually. That's our position. It's a positional thing. We just have to get a revelation of it, see? And until you grow up, like Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like a child. Didn't understand all my privileges as a king's kid. But now that the revelations come, that I am seated together with Christ in heavenly places. That's where your authority is in Christ. So then you can say to these things from authority, like the centurion said, I'm a man under authority, that I say to this one, go, and he goes. And if you know that the devil is under Jesus' feet, look what else he says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's where we're connected, through the Holy Spirit. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. See, this was already done 2,000 years ago, but we're just realizing it. It's coming to us now, the revelation that our life is hid in God, who created all things. Let me read that verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Where's the might? Where's the power? Right here in our inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Fruitful. Something's working in us, and it's powerful. And it's producing something. That's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to the power that's working. What's working? The word is in you, even in your mouth and in your heart. You believe it in your heart, confess it. You've got to know this. This is how we become fruitful. Church has got to be fruitful. I think there's going to be people in heaven that don't be much they're going to take with them. They might take their four no more to heaven. They're not going to be taking the neighbors. They're not going to be taking the family down the road to heaven with them because they worry too much about themselves and their family all the time praying and crying about the family. I'm telling you, it's time to lay hold on your family and get out there and lay hold on other people too. Believe, bear fruit. Believe it. And it's not just souls, it's healings. Deliverances. We're being fruitful here. Just seal this word tonight, Father, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.